This is Sheila with the Communicate Influence podcast. I apologize for not dropping an episode for so long. My time was occupied with family commitments in the last few months. But now we're back to our regular schedule and we have some really interesting episodes lined up. This week's episode will be of real interest to podcasters and anyone interested in the podcasting industry. It's with podcast industry expert James Cridland, host of the Pod News and the Podland podcasts. James takes a look at upcoming trends in 2021 and what podcasters can expect in the next 12 months. If you enjoy the show, please share it with friends and leave a review at iTunes. Thank you. Hi, James. Welcome to the Communicate Influence podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks for asking.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. In sunny Australia, it's summertime here. It's very hot and very humid outside. And yeah, it's all good.
Well, that sounds lovely from the perspective of winter in Canada. Anyway, we'll jump right in. We're going to talk about podcast predictions for 2021. And I can't think of a better person to interview on this. You edit podnews.net and also produce a daily podcast, Pod News. Tell us a little bit about that and what you've been up to before we jump into your predictions for this year.
Yeah, so I publish Pod News, which is a daily newsletter every single day, mainly because I wasn't clever enough to build in public holidays into the classified ad system. So I write that every single day, produce a podcast, which is also available on your smart speaker. Every single day as well, and have been doing that for the last 3.5 years or so. And it's been really interesting, actually, just sort of watching how the industry has changed in that time. I mean, I was first involved in podcasting in very early 2005, and just seeing the changes and the, you know, and just the increase in the amount of people listening to podcasts, talking about podcasts, and of course, all of the more corporate things going on has been fascinating to watch.
Hmm. So, you know, great background in podcasting, and you're still, I'm sure you'll continue to be for some time an expert in the industry. Let's jump into our questions, particularly the pandemic. We're entering the 10th month. And I recall you and I talked about podcast predictions last year. And of course, we were completely sidelined by the pandemic, which took its grip in around March. Now, what's happening with the pandemic and its impact on podcasting at the moment? Anything or nothing or somewhere in between?
Well, I mean, we saw quite a jump at the beginning of the pandemic last year in terms of the amount of people who are producing new podcasts and things. You know, so it was interesting seeing that the top month for new podcasts was June of last year. For a while, you couldn't buy any decent microphones, any decent podcast equipment because it was all sold out. I think things have sort of calmed down a little bit in terms of that now. But podcasting has certainly been still a business in growth, still lots of people, you know, using podcasting, lots of people both consuming it as well as making it. And the pandemic hasn't had too much of an issue, really, which has been nice. There's been a couple of sort of dips in terms of, you know, lockdown is obviously bad in terms of time spent commuting, or good for most normal people because you don't have to. So that obviously means that there's less consumption of podcasting in cars and things like that. But with that exception, you know, podcasting still appears to be growing and growing quite nicely.
Yes, I recall that lots of people saw a dip in their download figures, didn't they, in maybe April last year, I think it was. And then things resumed as remote workers figured out how they could fit in their podcast listening and working at home when they didn't have a commute.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we don't have a commute, so that's good. But also, we are deliberately spending a little bit longer, you know, going outside, walking the dog, going for a walk, doing a bit of exercise. And that's obviously a great time for podcasts as well. The other thing, and this might sound a little sort of trite and, you know, not really very important, but people now understand how QR codes work on their phone. Because we all have to, certainly in Australia, but I know in many other countries, sign in to places where we go so that track and trace can happen. So people understand how QR codes work. And QR codes are a brilliant way of making it really super easy for people to subscribe to a new podcast. If you put a QR code for your podcast on your poster or on your business card or stuff like that, then they work fantastically well. So QR codes have had a real resurgence in the past 10 months. And I think that's probably good news for those of us who are trying to market our podcast or our website.
Huh, that's interesting. So it's an offline way of marketing.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, and it's probably the most simple way of marketing. If you're going to a conference or you are doing, leaflet drops or all of that sort of thing, it's really easy and simple just for somebody just to scan a QR code. Now that everybody knows how to do it, to scan a QR code, that QR code then goes to a service that automatically knows whether or not you're using an iPhone or an Android phone, and then sends you to the podcast app of your choice. And so it's a simple, straightforward way of marketing your show. And I know that lots of people have been using it already, but the fact that we all know probably gives some more, you know, use for that sort of technology.
Oh, that's great. And that's a good tip that you've given there for people who weren't using it or weren't aware of it.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's a great thing for conferences when they're back up and running, because you can just say to people, scan that and you'll be subscribed. So, so it's a good thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, we've just talked about people launching podcasts, both companies and individuals, and smaller cooperatives as well. And yet we've got this strange anomaly that 60% of podcasts are no longer updated. So what's happening there, and why does that happen?
Yeah, so this is, some people call it pod fade, and it's people who have decided not to update their podcast, they say. And it's 60.7% of all podcasts are no longer being updated. That to me is not a worry at all. When you go into a bookshop, you're not turned off the fact that there are no longer going to be any more books by Dan Brown or whatever. You know, you're there, and let's hope so. You're there because you're actually buying something that is going to entertain you, is going to inform you, and in exactly the same way, podcasts are going to entertain you and inform you. And you know, to a point, there's no real downside of the fact that S-Town or Serial is no longer being updated. It's still a great listen. It's still a fantastic show. So the fact that some podcasts were limited episodes, some podcasts, people have stopped updating, isn't necessarily an issue, I don't think. But, if you're a podcast host, of course, you're quite concerned about that, because you earn money from people who are keeping their podcast going. And so you want to sort of push them to keep producing more shows. And so I can understand from a podcast host point of view why you might want to get a little bit more upset about pod fading than other people.
Mm. Do you think pod fading has got very much to do with the fact that some people start a podcast and just discover that it's a fair chunk of work and it's a commitment as well?
And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to make great audio and to do that every week or every month or every 3 weeks or whatever it is that you want to end up doing. So, yeah. And I think particularly free podcast hosts like particularly like Anchor, where you can go on, you can produce one podcast or maybe two. and you then lose interest. And Anchor don't take those off. They're still available and they're automatically thrown into Apple Podcasts as well and various other places. And so particularly when you look at free podcast hosts, you are going to get an awful lot of people who've dipped their toe in the water, realized that it's actually quite hard, and leaving it up to people like you and me.
Yeah, you often hear people who are just about to launch a show kind of jump on that figure with glee and think, you know, that's good because it means that my show has a better chance of getting heard or getting some profile.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Apple pushes recent shows in their algorithm, in their charts and things like that. Apple pushes, you know, a ton of these things to keep the chart experience fresh and the Apple Podcasts app experience fresh. So, you know, still doing new shows is an important thing, of course. I think this is, you know, the problem of PodFade is, I think, only a problem if you're a podcast host. And I think for typical, you know, human beings, actually, it's not really an issue at all. The fact that some shows out there are deliberately built to only be 12 episodes long, and that's absolutely fine.
Mm. It's a bit like a TV show, isn't it? Once it's run its course, it's run its course, and there's a right time to end something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and not every TV show, in the world still isn't being made. Thank heavens. you can certainly see that there's great parallels there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm researching, I often do go and find old podcast shows that have fantastic episodes. That really help whatever I'm doing. I don't know how many people do that, but there are some great older shows out there. So I'd recommend that people not just focus on finding new shows, but look for some old good content as well.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a problem that we have in this industry of, you know, podcasting being seen as something which is now, and not using the archive as much as we can and as much as we should. And there are some great shows, you know, out there that stand the test of time that you could listen to now, you could completely binge on. And, you know, the fact that it was made 3, 4, 5 years ago isn't actually that important. My daughter listens to a podcast from a UK classical music station, David Walliams's Marvelous Musical Podcast, and she listens to that. That had, I think, 6 episodes, and she listens to them round and round and round and round because she loves them so much. And I think that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It would be lovely if there were more episodes of it, but there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
Yeah. Now let's kind of jump up to more recent times and Amazon's purchase of Wondery. Tell us, what do you think that means for the podcasting industry as a whole?
So, I mean, Amazon is very clearly getting into podcasting, is very excited about what podcasting can offer. And I think that is keeping people within the Amazon ecosystem. It's making sure that people turn to Amazon first for audio, in the same way that Spotify has been spending an awful lot of cash in podcasting as well over the last couple of years. And so Amazon jumping in is, I think, really good news, because what typically appears to happen is that Amazon gets people that aren't necessarily as technologically savvy to enjoy new experiences. The amount of streaming music went up an awful lot when Amazon Music started, even though Amazon Music to, you know, technophiles isn't necessarily the world's best music service. It's just that it's there. You know, lots of people use it. Lots of people feel comfortable with what Amazon does. What Amazon have done very recently is they've launched Amazon podcasts in a couple of places, in I think 6 countries so far, but they're focusing more on that as they move into 2021, and they've bought Wondery, which is a big podcast studio that makes a ton of great shows, and that podcast studio sold for $300 million. which is nice. And I think it does underline that a podcast company is no good without great content. And that's clearly one of the things that they're very keen to go out and buy. And also that Amazon are quite serious, you know, in terms of actually doing this, of getting some great content into their apps.
Hmm. So pretty exciting times ahead, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. And my suspicion is that that won't be the last acquisition that Amazon makes over the last over the next couple of months. I suspect that they will be diving in with both hands, really, to make sure that they are keeping up to speed with companies like Spotify and iHeartRadio, which is a big broadcaster in the US, and other people, to make sure that they are competing with them. I think what's very clear at the moment is that Spotify is running away with an awful lot of great content, but making a lot of people switch over to Spotify for podcast listening, and people like Amazon, you know, iHeart, Stitcher, see that as a threat.
Mm. So more acquisitions on the horizon.
I would have thought so, yeah. Although, yeah, you know, there aren't that many companies to acquire now. My guess is that Amazon needs to buy an ad tech company for podcasting. And my guess is that Art19 is the obvious company that they might go and buy. But I don't know anything more than that. So it'll be interesting seeing what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Mm, okay. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for that one. And at the same time, there have been some concerns about, you know, with this kind of consolidation and big players in podcasting, what about the smaller podcast publisher who wants to compete and can produce great content, but, you know, can they get that content heard?
I think they can. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously big podcast networks have PR people that sit and flog their podcasts to as many different you know, press outlets as they possibly can, and everything else. But absolutely, you know, small independent companies and individuals can certainly still make a great show, get that listened to by a ton of different people. The Darknet Diaries is a great example, which is a podcast that started a couple of years ago, done by a bloke who calls himself Jack Resider, and I'm not sure that that's his real name, but you know, that's an independent podcast that is now, you know, easily one of the top 20 podcasts in most countries. And he's done that by himself, and shared, you know, a lot of what he's done online as well. So you can actually see how that's worked. And I think that, you know, that sort of proof, really, that if you work hard, then any independent podcast maker can do as good a job as one of these large companies with their millions of dollars.
Mm, that's good to hear. And now, what about podcasting ad revenue? I saw a piece in podnews.net that it had increased significantly. Do you see that trend continuing in 2021?
Yeah, so podcast ad revenue, a lot of the Americans get very excited because they were jumping up and down saying that 2020 will be the year that we hit $1 billion in ad revenue, which didn't quite happen. But the Americans, as you will know, have a slight issue that they forget that the rest of the world exists. And we're already on $1.3 billion worth of ad revenue. $1.3 billion, which is a tremendous number. So, you know, clearly podcast ad revenue is growing. There are growing pains, I think, and one of those growing pains is the amount of data that you get from podcasting isn't as much as the amount of data that you get on other online advertising, and that's an issue. But I think, you know, we're certainly seeing the amount of money, you know, growing there, and the amount of money in terms of programmatic advertising. So automated ads that, you know, would appear, you know, it would advertise, if you're in Canada, it would advertise Tim Hortons. If you're in Australia, it would advertise Hungry Jack's, and, you know, are a bit more aware of who the audience might be that might be listening to that exact podcast. I'm sure that, you know, programmatic advertising will make quite a change to the amount of revenue which is coming in. It is of course only one way of making money from podcasting. There are plenty of other ways. Podcast support, things like Patreon, you know, buymeacoffee.com and those sorts of things, and Memberful, of course, as well. Those services are also increasing too. So, you know, so there's a variety of different ways of earning cash out of podcasting.
Mm. And yeah, I think on that topic as well, another piece that I saw in Pod News was a significant increase in the sale of podcast merch in 2020. You know, you've got your favorite podcast, you decide to get the t-shirt or the coffee mug or whatever. So that's another option for podcasters who have good content and their show is growing.
Yeah, it is. And I remember linking a couple of months ago to a piece which I think had 12 different ways that you could make money out of your show. So I think, you know, there are a variety of different ways. Merch is one of them, doing live shows. If you're that sort of podcast that can do a live show, then those also work as well. And, you know, and a variety of other things. There's there's a large amount of podcasts which have done books as well. So there's a great podcast, 99% Invisible, which comes out of Oakland in California. And they have produced a beautiful coffee table book, which I'm sure is earning them a ton of cash as well. So, you know, so there's a bunch of different ways. And I think as a British person who grew up with most of the media that I consumed not containing any advertising whatsoever, I think one of the difficulties is seeing this being driven by an American agenda of everything has to be plastered with adverts. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's the case. And I think that there are many other ways that you can do a great job of earning, you know, earning money out of your art as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, sometimes it's over the top and intrusive. And, you know, if you can be creative and find other revenue streams, then good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I think there's a real opportunity there, you know, in terms of working out what other things you can do that aren't as intrusive to the audience. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Now, in terms of actual content, we've kind of been swamped with podcasts, news podcasts covering the election in the United States and, of course, Brexit and the pandemic as well. And you can almost sense a bit of fatigue there that, you know, people want something else. And for example, I've seen quite a few lists published recently about, you know, the best podcast to start feeling good to in 2020. And they're kind of like a combination of self-help, positive, upbeat podcasts or fiction that's enjoyable to listen to. As we continue into the year, what kind of content do you think people will start to want to hear?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, clearly 2020 was an important year for news. You know, the Americans were doing their thing with their president and their presidential election, and that was an important time, as well as, of course, the pandemic as well. Certainly the amount of news news coverage went up a fair amount in terms of podcasting through the year because of that. And, you know, clearly some of the most popular podcasts even now are ones that keep you up to date with the pandemic and what's going on there. But I think also we are seeing, you know, as you say, a bunch of shows which are deliberately feel good, which are escapism, which lift the spirits. And that's something that audio has always been very good at doing, to enable you to, you know, to feel good, feel happier, feel more energized. Music has done that in a very good way. But the amount of comedy podcasts, you know, are certainly increasing as well. And so I think, you know, it's really sort of, it's really reflecting the sort of content that we want to hear. And, you know, some of that content will most certainly be content that we want to you know, that we want to cheer us up. And heaven knows there are many parts of the world that need a good cheer up right now.
That's absolutely true. Well, what are you listening to at the moment, James? And what might you be listening to in the next couple of weeks? Have you got things on your listening list?
Yeah, I mean, I always have things on my listening list, and I have no commute at all. What I used to do is I used to listen to an awful lot of my podcasts when I was on airplanes. So all of that has gone. So I'm not listening to an awful lot of those. Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to, there are a few that I'm looking forward to sitting down and binging. One of those, is called Greetings from Somewhere, which is a travel podcast, made during a lockdown. And actually, you know, a really interesting way of doing things around American road trips and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to having a listen to that a little bit more, as well as there's a podcast from the EFF, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, all about how to fix the internet, looking at privacy issues and that sort of thing. But you know, as you'll appreciate, I've got rather a lot of podcasts to go through.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. The other podcast that I'm listening to an awful lot is Podland, and the only reason why I'm doing that is that it's mine. And it's a very good weekly show all about the business of podcasting, with lots of interviews on there as well. So I would heartily recommend that one anyway.
Okay, we'll definitely check that out and include the link in the show notes. And just before we conclude, James, I've asked you quite a few questions. Are there any predictions or thoughts that you have on this new year before we finish?
Well, I mean, I think this new year is going to be really interesting. My suspicion is that we will see Spotify continuing to grow. I hope that Google Podcasts, which is the number three podcast app now, continues to grow. It's got a long way to grow to beat Spotify, but it'll be interesting seeing that. And my other prediction is that I suspect that privacy is going to be more of a thing this year. I think that we have, particularly when we've looked at online privacy, we've not necessarily worried too much about it. And I think, you know, certainly now we'll see an awful lot more people being concerned about where our data is going, what people are doing with that data, you know, you know, is there a better way of consuming the media that we consume that doesn't also tell 249 different companies about it, which is what happens on Spotify. So I suspect that there's going to be an awful lot more concern about that. And that's good, because I think, you know, privacy particularly is something that we should all be concerned about. You know, really the shouting match that happened last year about privacy was really the old-fashioned podcast hosts who don't offer some of the new clever things, trying to scare people in terms of how programmatic advertising might work and all of that kind of thing. And I'm not sure that that was a particularly helpful debate to have. I think this year we'll hopefully have a bit more of a nuanced and an intelligent conversation around the whole online privacy issue.
Well, just on that point, do you think there could be a bit of a backlash against Spotify, or do you think a little bit the way some people are complacent with Facebook, it's the same kind of thinking that they're not just not too concerned about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, Spotify, Facebook, and Google are, their privacy policies are going to be more obvious, partially because of the changes that Apple are making. So you have much more of an understanding of where your data is going. The upgrades to privacy laws, you know, across the world, whether that's in California with the CCPA, the Canadian privacy laws, which are very strong, the Australian privacy laws, which are useless at the moment, but will become stronger, I'm sure, over time. All of those things will, you know, again, have a have a big impact in terms of this. And sure, there will be 80% of people who don't care. But my suspicion is that there will be far more people that are beginning to care about this and are beginning to worry about where all of their information is actually going.
Okay, interesting stuff. Anything else that you'd like to add, James?
No, I think that's all that. Apart from obviously anybody listening to this who's found the last 15 minutes even vaguely interesting should be going to podnews.net right now and subscribing to the free newsletter, because sure. Then they'll find an awful lot more of that. But
yeah.
With that, but you know, accepting that blatant plug, I think I'm all good.
Good. Yeah. Well, I have to say as well, as a reader of Pod News, it is well worthwhile. I read it religiously every day, and there's always something that, or more than one thing that I find very interesting and I want to check out a little bit more. So it's a great read if you're into podcasting and want to know what's happening, what the trends are, and new podcasts as well.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, indeed. And it's always interesting getting the feedback and seeing what people think of it all.
Yeah, for sure. It's been lovely speaking with you, James, and I appreciate your time because I know that you're really busy.
Well, all good. And thank you so much for asking me on. It's good to talk to you again.
You bet. Take care.